Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode 549 on the precipice of 550. And you know what that means? Every 50 episodes, I'm going to go solo and just sort of, you know, do an amazing podcast, just you and me. So look for that one for the next podcast. All right. Now, today, I'm joined by my fellow American College of Sports Medicine colleague, Dr. Tamara Rial. And I'm telling you right now, she has got it when it comes to what we're going to talk about today. Are you ready? The female strength span. That's right. You know me by now. Any opportunity to talk about women being strong, mentally, physically, spiritually, hey, I'm all over it. So Tamara is an internationally recognized researcher and educator whose work focuses on pelvic health, pediatric exercise science, and resistance training for women's health. That's what we want to hear more than anything else. She's currently a specialist professor and coordinator of the Human Performance Lab at Monmouth University. Welcome, welcome aboard, Tamara. So happy to see you.
I know. Thank you so much for the invitation. I can't believe that when we were writing the concept of female strength span, like, you're the gold star icon. You are that person. And I love that. I think it's the perfect person to be interviewing me about this topic. I'm so thrilled to be here with you.
Well, you authored, along with two other academicians, a fabulous piece, which immediately got me going. And that is in our journal for the American College of Sports Medicine. You wrote The Female Strength Span. Now, you know what I love about this is we've got, like, you know, lifespan and health span. And I'm like, okay, thanks for sharing. But what about strength? And then boom, it just pops up. I was so excited. So, you know, you introduced this entire study, or basically article, on a life course perspective on resistance exercise and looking specifically at demything a lot of what was out there, starting with a sidebar called The Mythology of Female Resistance Exercise, which I think is just amazing. Now, before we start in, tell us all why you're so interested in this.
Oh my God. Well, I guess because I've always been passionate about women's health, and I did my PhD actually in the effect of exercise, women's health, specifically urinary incontinence. And I think after that, when I started at that time, we were not talking about exercise and female health issues that were so taboo as incontinence. And then that just got me going, and I think I just continued into all my research interest at the intersection of what it was: female athletes, resistance training, because that's one of my favorite pieces of exercise, and then how that can affect different health or age-related health issues that happen in female. From pregnancy, the changes in puberty, menopause, and inclusive aging. So yeah, I think that's going to be that was my trajectory. And a side note, of course, I love resistance training. I've always resistance trained all my life. I was an athlete at the university, but then
What kind of athlete?
We were gymnastics. And also did a little bit of everything, swimming, we did soccer. But then once you start to be more of a writer, academician, you know that we spend a lot of time sitting on a computer, and we need that piece of exercise. And I always feel that the missing component in any female prescription was resistance training, or what we call also muscle strengthening, strength building activities.
I love it. All right. So you and I are aligned. You know, when I wrote my book, Body for Life for Women, it was the first time a physician appeared on the cover and was ranting and raving about, you know, damn it, lift some weights here, girlfriends. You know, I mean, it's all special that you're running and rowing and, you know, whatever. Don't stop that, whatever you do. But for crying out loud, you need strength for your bones, for your muscles, and eventually to lay down this strong foundation so that you can remain physically independent, let alone mentally, but physically independent when you finally hit the menopausal and postmenopausal years. Because, honey, if you fall down on the ground, no front end loader is going to show up and help you. Okay. It's all about you and being able to do kind of what we call a push up to be able to get up. Oh, I love that. A push-up to get up. I got to think about that one. All right. So that's part of my rant and rave. Now, there, I'd like to start in with some of these myths. And this is really important because we at the Her Podcast have an intergenerational audience, mostly women, but a goodly number of men as well listening in because they're just so cool. All right. So the first one is girls should wait until puberty to start resistance exercise.
Correct. Well, that's one of the biggest myths in pediatric exercise science. And in fact, we see already a big drop of females. When you compare female girls compared to boys, there is such a disparity in girls who engage not only in physical exercise, but also in strength building exercise. But we do know, because the evidence tells us, a long, long list of evidence and position statements, that resistance exercise during youth, adolescence, and childhood is not only safe, but it's beneficial. It's beneficial to start as early as you can. I'm also even talking about infancy. And if we can go further, I would say resistance training starts in the womb. From the womb to the tomb. Because think about it, all those pregnant females who resistance trained and did exercise throughout their pregnancy, their children at 2 months had higher neuromotor abilities than those who did not resistance train. So you already developed that in the womb. Which is fascinating.
That's crazy. That is crazy. So you're, so what a gift to give your child.
Yeah. And so that's why it's so important when we're thinking about lifespan development. Development, we think, starts when you're born, and development starts during those 9 months of pregnancy. And when a female is pregnant, and because now we know, and I know you talk about epigenetics a lot, but exercise has this cool effect that is able to change already in the womb the effect of how we're going to develop our genetics. Our genetics are not influenced not only by our nature, but are influenced already while we're developing in the womb by our nurture, everything we nurture. And the nurturing in a big piece that's going to be that is not going to be teratogenic, that's negative or harmful. Like, for example, we know the effects of smoking, and we avoid all that. No smoking, no drinking, no drugs, etc. But what is going to be beneficial for the kid is going to be that the mother engages in physical activity. And that's the missing piece. And then when the child's an infant, they're already going to be developing their abilities to move, to walk and run. And enabled to do all those abilities, you need strength. You need to have the strength in order to stand up, to crawl, and to do squats even with your baby. So then we're going to further on and go into before puberty. And of course, in puberty, there's a big transitional period that happens between puberty and adolescence. And we see this a lot in girls. They start to become very self-aware of their body. Your breasts are moving, they're self-conscious, and they start sometimes dropping from exercise and sports. Maybe they want to do other activities. So that big dropout, we have to finish it. And we know that by doing exercise, not only they're going to feel better, their mental health is going to improve, their outlook, they're going to feel better, they're going to also feel empowered, but it's going to be a perfect strategy to reduce sports-related injuries. Because for those adolescent girls, teenagers, who do any type of sports, especially between puberty, there is some type of risk for having, for example, LCA injuries. So we know that the best type of exercise to do to avoid those injuries, for example, at this age, is resistance training. And resistance training, and this is another big myth, people think that in order to resist the strain, you have to go to a gym, right? You have to lift those heavy weights, those things we see in many marketing ads. But resistance training for girls or young teenagers looks very different. It can be in a social environment. It can be warming up when you're in your soccer team. It can be team building activities. It can be fun games. Almost anything that involves a load or a game is going to be strength building. And as you said, with a push-up, you can do push-ups without going to the gym. So why not? Can they start strengthening? And also another important thing that we have to think about is that you're developing your bones still as a developing youth. So strength training is going to get you that peak bone mass. And that's so important for girls during puberty. So as I said, resistance training is safe, is beneficial before, during, and after puberty, and is going to offer so, so many health and fitness benefits for young girls that I don't know what it is that we're doing that we are not having all girls do resistance training during the PE school, physical education classes. That should be mandatory during our sports sessions, and just empower them to especially learn what is a cool term that is called resistance training skill literacy. So it's not about lifting a lot of weights. It's about empowering and getting knowledge and getting confidence and being able to move or your body in a confident manner. That is, I can do a squat. I feel good. I know the technique. I know how to do all these basic movement skills. So I'm not going to be afraid when I join a gym. Because that's the big thing. Sometimes even as females, we always feel like, oh, I'm not going to go to the gym. I don't know how to do the exercises. So there's always that fear of doing strength training because of all those stereotypes, so many stereotypes. And that prevails also in the young mind. So that's why if we give them keys in order to be able to develop the skills to do exercise in a confident manner, they know how to do it. Once they transition into adulthood, there's a higher probability for them to keep doing it. They know.
Well, and they're laying down a very powerful foundation as well, which is extremely important. And, you know, I just want to put in one word out there. Yeah, I've said this a million times on my podcast, and that is, no, you're not going to get bulky. Actually, the joke is we mesomorphs, as you know, I'm a triathlete, we mesomorphs pray for muscles. We just, you know, I mean, it's genetic. You're either going to look like Serena Williams or you're not. I mean, it's just, you know, so somebody, you know, who's just a little skinny person can definitely optimize their musculature. No question mm-hmm. about that. But don't be looking for big bulk because that's never happening. Whereas mesomorphic women, I mean, you look at the women doing the shot put and the discus throw. It's like, whoa, you know, there's some powerful women out there and power lifters and people like that. So no, you're not going to get bulky. So just kill that one off. Now, since we're talking about women throughout their life, I want to hit each stage. Mm-hmm. Now, for women who are menstruating, and this also includes women who are menstruating all the way up until menopause hits. Okay, so this isn't just for a bunch of, you know, 20-year-olds or something. You will be menstruating all the way through your 40s until, you know, things start getting a little wonky there with the perimenopause. So what is the deal with being, what is the effect of resistance training on the menstrual cycle? There's been a myth that was floating around that, oh my God, you shouldn't, you know, be lifting weights if you're on your menstrual cycle and all the rest of it. I'm kind of laughing here a little bit because, you know, one day I had the extraordinary opportunity to meet Greta Weitz, you know, one of the greatest runners of all time, and you know, from Norway, and she's just amazing. And we were talking about this whole issue of menstrual cycles. She goes, why is it every time I'm running a big race, I'm on my cycle and yet I do extremely well? Well, damn it. You know, every time I ever ran a marathon, including Boston, good Lord, you know, it was like clockwork. Boom, there it was. And and I ran really well. And the same thing happens with resistance training and triathlons and all the rest of it. It's just kind of interesting that there's that relationship, because I had a big question too, like, am I doing damage here? Is there like a problem, you know, if I'm stressing myself with lifting, aerobic, whatever? What's your thought, Tamara?
Well, I love that you mentioned that. And in fact, I think here on this topic, we have two big myths. And both of them are rooted on outdated beliefs. Those are the cultural beliefs and the stereotypes that always have been placed on females. That idea if you're pregnant, you're sick. And if you have the menstruation, you're sick and you can't get out of home. And in reality, it's just a phase. But there's no scientific data that actually says that doing any type of exercise, but specifically resistance training, is harmful in any way in any of the phases of the menstrual cycle. So even if you're premenstrual or if you're menstruating, any phase is safe. And actually, there is good data that shows completely the opposite, which is mind-blowing, that if you do resistance training, or even when you're in premenstrual syndrome, sometimes females, we feel bloated, we have pain on the lumbar, and we feel like we don't want to go through that period. But if you actually do, even if it's localized abdominal type of exercise, you're able throughout 3 months to be able to reduce all of those premenstrual syndromes. So girls, ladies, if you all listening to me, please, if you feel like you have high levels of premenstrual symptoms, train throughout all the cycle. Of course, you can adapt, because if one day you're not feeling good, you don't want to go high intensity, or maybe that day you want to choose another type of activity. So that's completely normal. But don't think just because you're in the menstruation, you have to stop. Because actually, it's better that you do, even if it's a light modification of exercise, but that's going to help you. You're going to
liberate. I always felt better, you know, when I train. And, you know, to your point, you don't have to anticipate having like the best workout of your lifetime. Instead, you know what I would say to myself, you know, when I still had menstrual cycles, I would say, right, I'm going to show up. And I'm going to simply do my best. And this is going to be good enough for today. And sure to form, I would always feel better. It's kind of like a total body feeling of better. Do you know? It's just like, whoa, I feel really good. And, you know, again, did I crush it that day? Well, I might have, whatever. But most of the time, I just showed up because I just sort of knew it was going to help me. But now we have scientific data that actually shows there is benefit, most definitely, to just showing up and doing it. Now, when I say show up, you don't have to go to a gym. I just mean whatever you were doing for your lifting, you know, at home and back and forth. And I'm a huge advocate of body weight in terms of weightlifting, because honey, you could do more with your body than you could shake a finger at. It's just amazing.
Yeah. And I wanted also to touch out on another myth that has been going around. That is that idea that females, just because we're females and because we have a very different cycle, that we're kind of different to men in the sense that we have to train or adapt the load of our training differently. That is called menstrual cycle training or cycle-based training. And actually, nowadays, we do not have evidence also that supports that. Because as you said, going back to that case that you were referring, that she was winning and she was doing best when she was actually in the menstruation. So sometimes I said, oh, you have to periodize your training because when you're in the menstruation, it's better to decrease the loads. But actually, there's no data to support this. So you just better train based on the symptoms that we were saying as how you feel. And if that day you have your menstruation, you want to train high intensity or low intensity, just do it. But don't change the whole team just because somebody said or somebody is saying on Instagram that we should be adapting or periodize training based on our cycle. It's not like that.
I never did that. You know, and part of it is I'm too damn lazy. It's like all that math. It's like, oh no, forget it. I'm just showing up. Hell with it.
It always worked out.
I mean, you could also obsess like crazy about this and turn this into a human experiment. I don't need to play around with that.
No.
You know what it is? Girlfriends out there on the Her podcast, just listen to your body. Just listen to it. How are you feeling today? You know, roll out of bed and just show up. And don't go down that perfectionist thing. Well, if I don't show up and if I'm not just totally crushing it, it's not worth it. Okay, stop that already. Just show up and let's just see what happens. Never know. It's life's an adventure and there you go.
It's funny how in Spain, we have a bronze Olympic winner in the triple jump. And the other day she was talking about this topic, menstruation. She actually said that day when she won her Olympics, she just had her menstruation and she just did good. So sometimes it's your mind that is telling you, I don't know if I'm going to perform. I'm going to perform. So that's why we have to change the click. We have to think sometimes, especially training is also very mind driven. Yeah. So
about 90%.
So
when you get down to it,
you're not going to be an injury. I remember because I also teach sometimes professionals, and when I teach professionals and so for yoga courses or so, they always come to me and they say, and there's yoga book. They say that when you have the menstruation, you shouldn't be doing yoga. And I was like, what?
What? Yeah, take that yoga book and throw it out the window. I mean, like, seriously, talk about misinformation.
Yeah.
Let's move on to pregnancy. So now that's an interesting one. I'm not kidding you. I do have this video. I'll actually send it to you tomorrow when we're all done. So I'm sitting on an airplane. I'm up in the front cabin. All right. So plenty of room to spread out. I was getting some work done, tapping away in the computer and whatever. And, some of my slides, because I was going to present, you know, were up. And the woman sitting next to me, really looked great and fit. And, you know, she's like in her 30s. Yeah. And so she looked at me. She says, wow. So you talk about physical activity and women and, you know, sports, whatever. I said, oh, heck yeah. She says, so, you know, I love to lift weights. And I said, really? That's wonderful. She said, you want to see something wild? And I thought, oh, okay. She whips out her cell phone. I'm not kidding you. And at 9 months pregnant, right? 9 months pregnant. She's a tall, slender woman. She looks really fit. All right. She's just, you know, she's doing some deadlifts and it's like, oh my God. And I watched it and she was just smiling. She's going, yeah. And this was what I did the day before I delivered.
Yeah.
And I sat back and I said, okay. And then, you know, we actually had a really cool conversation that kind of went like this. Well, what did caveman, you know, cavewoman do? Right. So she was out there helping caveman, who's utterly helpless. And she's doing her thing, hunting, gathering, pushing, pulling, whatever. What did she do? Just sit on her ass in the cave when she was pregnant and let the guys do all that? Come on now. So, of course, we were actually built to be that physically resilient. Now, you tell us the research in this.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's a big one. I still see a lot of people, when there is a video of a pregnant woman, they people get so much hatred and negative comments. And it's just, as we said, their beliefs are not rooted in biology. Because in reality, and thank God that there's a lot of researchers now who are trying to feel forward. And I'm also going to include myself because I did actually publish a little piece on the evidence of resistance training for pregnancy. And it was so hard to get this out because even the reviewers were, oh, we published this. People are going to misinterpret resistance training with lifting heavy. And that's completely wrong. You just have to read to the data. And the data now is telling us that actually, if you want to have good pregnancy outcomes, also for the newborn, that's a, you should be doing not only physical activity, but some type of resistance training during your whole pregnancy. And that means, because think about this, even females who exercise once they're pregnant, they stop exercising. So we have a recorded number of only 11% of females that continue exercising during their pregnancy, which is too low, knowing what we know nowadays of the health benefits of being active while you're pregnant. Not only to reduce, for example, your gestational diabetes, also to reduce your hypertension, to reduce a gaining too much weight, for the benefits of only how the complications while you're giving birth. You're going to have lower complications. I wanted to know how she gave birth. I'm sure it was like a easy ride.
She told me that. She said he was like in and out, we're good, and the child is in fantastic shape. Now, here's a question. A lot of people are wondering, okay, now they're buying in. They're going, okay, I hear you. Let's do the resistance training. But is it prudent then to just sort of back off on the heavier weights and just sort of, you know, hit the total body, but you don't have to be lifting crazy weights or anything?
Yeah, I love that question because that's one of the questions almost all of my students and females ask. And the question is totally no. We have to adapt to where you are, and we can, if we want, and it's part of a program, we can lift at heavy ranges because the experimental recent data that there's like two or three good experimental research done on females during a variety of leg press at a 1 RM, 2 RM, 3 RM. That means lifting at a high level capacity during pregnancy compared to those. And there were no negative immediate effects, acute effects on the newborn, but also no effects on when you're giving birth. So my question is always, have you did a check-in with your gynecologist? Do you have any contraindications that are normally there? Absolute and relative contraindications to exercise. If you have none of those, and also you want to start exercising, what you're going to do is a tailored program. And we always have to tailor to the experience of the person. Does the person know how to lift? Does the person have a previous experience? Because it's not the same, for example, an athlete that has years of knowing how to do resistance training. So therefore, while they're pregnant, they're going to continue with the loads, and they can continue with that type of load, or they can just adapt based on the recommendations by their team. The team has to be a multidisciplinary team made by the gynecologist, the obstetric, and the coach. But we have seen, and we still see that nowadays, as that female you were commenting on the plane, that you can safely do resistance training during your whole pregnancy, and that we have good health outcomes. But also we have to put that in context. If you're a person that maybe hasn't done any type of exercise, you have to progress like everything. You're not going to enter there one day and just start lifting weights. We have to do it in a supervised manner.
And you know, more and more fitness professionals, Tamara, are getting really hip to this whole thing because they can oftentimes guide. An ACSM certified professional, and there are plenty of others, you know, are smart enough and have learned enough about this to be able to your point, customize and individualize so that, you know, you kind of go where that person is. I'm just thinking right now, one of our greatest athletes of all time is Sydney McLaughlin. As you know, she's, you know, just jumping over those gates, fences, whatever the hell they're called. And she is absolutely out of this world. She's pregnant. I'm like, whoa, now there's a child who's going to end up, you know, with some pretty powerful genetics. Now, when we come back, I'd like to move on now to adult women who need to, as you said in the article, be strong. And we're back. Okay, now we've covered all kinds of hormonal milestones. Let's move on to adult women, because my adult women out there in the Herb podcast are like, hey, what about me? You know, like, why is this so important? Because the next category of folk, right, are, as it were, older women. And I don't know about that word older, but, you know, women, I would say, after the age of 50, for sure. In other words, menopausal, postmenopausal. So adult women all the way up until, you know, we hit the menopausal, postmenopausal. And then let's kind of, you know, think about those, you know, those women in that category. At the same time, we're talking about adult women. What are we prepping adult women for as they enter, you know, the years of their, you know, everything after the age of 50.
Correct. Yeah. And I wanted to go back to the concept of female strength span, because female strength span is actually the trajectory over the course of your life of muscular strength. So as we said, muscle strength is, and during your youth, you're going to start strong, but during your adulthood, you're going to be strong. So therefore, when you reach your older stage, you're going to stay strong. And you need to
stay
strong.
Oh, I love it.
Say
it again. So be strong. Be strong.
We're going to start strong.
Start
we're
strong.
We're going to be strong.
Be strong.
And then we're
going to
stay strong.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Let's go through the physiology of muscle. What's happening with muscle in a woman? You know, we talk about when men peak with their muscle, and obviously this goes hand in hand with their testosterone levels as they pass through adolescence and into early adulthood. What happens to a woman?
Well, we are not so different. Physiologically, we're not so different than men. At the end of the day, we're humans with the same physiology. So that's why for girls, even they also have estrogen, a peak estrogen, but estrogen actually is not the driver for muscle development, as we tended to think, not even testosterone. Actually, the drive for muscle growth, and especially for strength, muscle strength, is actually just load on the tendon. You have to have a certain type of load on that muscle goes to the tendon, and that's going to create an increase of a muscle contractile units. So we used to think that a testosterone and progesterone and estrogens were like key players in the development of muscle strength in females. But now we know that they're like maybe secondary players, but the key player here is going to be lift. So the most important key thing is to just lift and lift. And if you lift, or what we say, do any type of exercise, muscle building activities that involve different type of muscles and different ranges, you can do it very quickly, you can do it slowly. What you're going to do is you're going to keep your neuromuscular capacities, that capacity is alive, and you're going to keep your strength. Because the thing about your strength, a contractile capacity, is that when we peak around 20 and 30 years of age is when we have peak performance in everything, cardiovascular, lung capacity, but also muscle. And as I say, during our age, every year, We're losing not only muscle strength, but we're losing muscle mass and, of course, also bone density. So the best key there, and that's why we talked about adulthood as be strong, what you want to do is keep, like, maintain a reserve. It's like keeping money in the bank and keeping them in stocks, because what you're going to create is a muscle strength reserve. You're going to maintain that strength reserve that you built from your earlier years. You're going to keep on training, because that training is going to help you overcome all those health issues that we're going to have. We're going to have hot flashes, maybe. We're going to have mood swings. But all of that is going to help us not only live healthier during the adulthood years, but that's going to carry on. So there we're going to expand the capacity of strength. So when we're older, we're going to have higher functionality. And when I say functionality, is going to be able to go up and down a flight of stairs, avoid age-related falls that we know that are so detrimental in later age. And we're also going to be more resilient. And a key thing, I think everybody's talking about longevity, correct? But when we think about longevity, I just think that a strength span is adding life. It's adding years to your life. So if you want to increase your longevity, we have not only idea to live longer, but live longer with a much healthier prospect because we're going to be independent. What makes you, when you lose functionality, as you say, you lose functionality because maybe you're not able to get out of the chair. And you can't get out of the chair, not because of cardiovascular capacity, because this muscle strength that you need in those legs. So that's why it's so important that our older population do two main things. One is muscle strengthening activities. That's like brushing your teeth. I don't know how it's not in their manual of daily routines. But then is also complement that with balancing activities. Because also now the new guidelines of ACSM, the American College of Sports Medicine, are going to come out. And when we think of fitness, the concept of fitness, one of the new components is going to be balance. Because we know that balance is intimately related also to our longevity. So balancing can be something as simple as doing tiptoes. You know, you're next to the chair, next to the table. We can stand up doing tiptoes. You're not only working on your balance, but you're working on the strength of your legs. So these are just key important things that we have to remain thinking about. You're banking on years by adding the strength to your life. And I'm talking about strength, not talking about bulky and big muscles. It's muscle strength that is equal to functionality. If that
there
makes
was actually
sense.
An article that just came out, I believe in the New York Times, that basically said what you, yeah, it was. It was recently under the well section. And what it basically said was you're not looking for a boatload of muscle mass, you're looking for strength. And so make sure that the goal that you're striving for, you know, is the correct one. Now, if women's bone mass peaks around the age of 30 plus minus, right? Is there a peak for women's muscle?
For muscle, it's around the 23s or so. And then every decade we start to lose. And you're going to see a progressive loss of muscle mass every year. It's like I'm dropping, I'm dropping a little bit. But then, of course, what's going to happen is during perimenopause, there's going to be some substantial change. So we're going to go through perimenopause and menopause, and we're going to see a more drastic drop in that bone mass. And so because of that, Many females say, oh, I'm going to be at a risk of osteopenia, osteoporosis, but they never attach osteoporosis to preventing it throughout resistance training. And there's a direct connection. If you want to improve your bone density just because you're afraid of that loss that you're going to be suffering during menopause, I have the best prescription for you, and it's not a pill, and it's going to be very easy, and it's going to be during even less than 60 minutes. You need to accumulate at least even if it's 60 minutes throughout the week, and I'm saying the minimal, but sometimes strength building activity. So there you're going to try to maintain that bone mass. So you don't even have to do power training or high intensity. It's just any type of continuum in muscular fitness. It can be muscle strength, muscle power, muscle resistance, anything that involves doing some type of resistive load as you like it, whatever you like activity, but just keep doing it because of that. So I think that's a key message.
That's absolutely, it's going to end up being life-saving. At the end of the day, because what you're doing is you're taking what you started with, the strength you started with. And I was a little tomboy. So I was always falling out of trees and into mud holes with my brothers. And thank heavens I had older brothers, because wherever they went, I did. And so if they're getting in trouble, I'm right behind them. And was very physically active in that regard. It was all play and some sports. And I never thought about anything other than the fact that I'm having a ball. You know, this stuff's good. I didn't realize then, I was just very fortunate that I was already laying down a foundation. And I'm going to tell you, and I've said this a lot, Tamara, that physical activity basically saved my life. It saved my life. And what do I mean by that? It means that, you know, when you have a lot of stress in your life, you know, and maybe even trauma, this and that, what do you do? Many people they self-destruct, right? And I always found going outdoors and just being with nature, hiking, biking, you know, walking, running, I don't know, something, was so healing. So I wasn't out there going, you know, crunching calories and worrying about how big my biceps was. I was seeking healing. And I think throughout my entire life, and I think people need to understand this, that, you know, really going back to the basics and understanding physical activity is so terribly, terribly important. Notice I never even said the E word. I didn't say exercise per se. I said physical activity. Get out, move. And then, of course, now with strength training, some level of it, and there's tons of ways to do this, you're setting up a foundation for decades of aging. And during that time, you know, I hate to be the one to tell you, you know, you're going to get a little weaker, right? Your bones are, I don't care who you are, your bones are going to continue to lose some level of bone mineral density. Your muscles will not be as strong. And this is why we have age-related classes in marathon and triathlon and whatever, because I'm not going to compare to a 20-year-old by any means, not even close, nor should I. So we just have to really say to ourselves, how are we investing in our future? You know, women, as you know, Tamara, and all of you out there in her podcast land can figure this out without looking at research, we want to stay independent. You know, get the heck away from me. Don't bother me. You know, I don't need any help getting out of a chair. You know, let me rock out of this chair and do my thing. I don't want anybody having to, you know, help me. I don't need any of that. And women are fiercely independent. And so if that's really true, if that's our DNA, then we have to work to develop a foundation in terms of strength, obviously mind, body, you know, strength, to be able to keep that going for decades and decades. Because right now, if you look at our lifespan, if you look at the predicted lifespan for a woman in the USA, it's about 88 years old, right? Yeah. And so, and many women now are just walking right into the centenarian years, and they're a riot, you know. Yeah. A lot of senior Olympic athletes, you know, they're 105 and they're doing the 50 meter out on the track field. And you're like, what? And you just keep the party going, but you've got to have a foundation. And I think that's what I loved about this women's strength span, you know, concept, because it's a complete life span. What is the trajectory of your strength over time when you try to do your best to optimize? What does that even look like? Can you stay strong enough to be independent? And my answer is hell yeah. Of course you can. No question about it. So I just love how you put all this together. So if a woman is out there, let's just say she's a woman who's like 48 or something, and she said, oh my gosh, I missed out on the childhood thing because I didn't have the resources, didn't have the right school, no one ever guided me, blah, blah, you know, the whole thing, which is so common out there, all right? And then in my young years, you know, my young adulthood, I was just out there slamming it for my career, my, you know, maybe graduate study, you know, whatever. And then I did my pregnancy, somehow made it through that. And here I am at the age of 48. Is it too late?
Yeah, I love that question. And you know what I'm going to say. It's never too late. It's never too late for the good things. It's never too late to add years to your life and add functionality, as we can say. And actually, it is not difficult at all, because it's not this idea. I don't want people to think, oh, I understand how the health we've been going through, what are the old benefits, and we get it and we want to do it. And also a side note, the good part about resistance training is helps you to look good. So who by vanity reason doesn't want to look good? And that's what's important for us. So you do not need a lot of time. The physical activity guidelines actually recommend a minimum of 2 days of muscle strengthening activities. So you don't even need a membership. You can do it at home. Nowadays, there are a lot of platforms with exercises that you can do. You remember when we were COVID and we were getting very creative, doing exercises against the wall, doing push-ups.
Well, YouTube's just filled with, you know, wonderful channels, highly credible channels. Obviously, you want to look for channels with certified, you know, fitness professionals and exercise physiologists, not some guy down the street who, you know, was making it up as he went along. And that's why I insist upon, of course, I consider, horribly biased, the standard of excellence as ACSM,
yes,
the American College of Sports Medicine. Always, always, always ask,
yes,
what is your certification? I mean, you know, if you walk up to me and you say, hey, Dr. Peak, you know, what's your stuff? And I'd say, I'm internal medicine, critical care, board
right,
certified. You know, I have all that. Okay, fine, good. Now I pass the sniff test. What about a fitness professional? You need to know the same thing and you need to ask the question. And don't be, you know, all shy and everything, like, oh, I don't want to hurt his feelings. Yeah, go ahead and hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
If he's not certified, he should be.
Right.
Or she, for that matter. And then if you want a man or a woman, you know, I've been trained mostly by men because I'm kind of old school, you know, weight training. And, you know, I'm okay with that. I've had some women the women basically have helped me with triathlon. So the swim coaches and, you know, the bikes and the rest of it. But it's interesting. My weight training, I guess, again, I'm old school. A lot of it was guys. But now, happily, there are more and more women out there who are like crazy strong,
right,
strong. And I wouldn't mind working with them at all. I work out with them.
Right.
But, you know, it's kind of cool stuff. And think of the adventures you can have while you're out there doing your thing. The people you meet, you know, the new friends. And it's just like a beautiful door that you open up, and then there's a vista that goes on the rest of your life for all of these fantastic opportunities.
Right.
So again, talk to that woman right now who's 48 and she's feeling helpless, hopeless, and defeated.
Well, I would first ask, what is it that you like to do? Because already in your case, Pam, you already mentioned you like to do a lot of outdoor activity. You might like strength building activities, but you also like the social piece. So once you start to know what it is that a person is going to like, then you can adapt the training. But if I would give like a minimum exercise prescription for a starter, I would say I would give you a minimum of 2 days per week, between 30 to 60 minutes. And I will focus on general strength building activities of all your muscle bodies. It's important to go throughout all our muscles. And throughout our muscles, starting, for example, with big muscle groups, for example, exercise that involve your legs like squat, or maybe upper body movements, I would also focus on upper body strength, because that's always the thing. Like females, sometimes we are all over focusing on legs, but we cannot forget that we have a lot of muscles in your back, in your arms. So we're going to target one of all of those muscles. We can start by, for example, for beginners, two sets of 8 to 12 repetitions. And then maybe you can go, if you want to do a program that's more circuit-based. The good thing is circuit-based, if you don't have time, because we know we're all busy, a circuit is going to allow you to do one exercise of each for each muscle group. Then you repeat it again, and you're gone. So you're going to get the metabolic activity almost not resting between them, and you're going to get the benefits of strengthening all your body. Or if you are one of those people who like to rest in between sets, you can rest. I would also recommend that when we do exercise, because we know that the best benefits in order to gain strength is to do, you don't have to go up to failure. It's not like bodybuilders. You remember those old videos of Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he was lifting and it seems like he was having a stroke in the last repetition. That is doing repetitions up to failure. But we don't need to go up to failure to get all the benefits. For example, imagine that you're lifting a weight. I would ask you how many, with whatever weight it is, I don't know, whatever, 10 pounds. Let's do repetitions. Let's see how many repetitions you're able to do. And once you start to get tired, I'm going to ask you how many do you have left. So you can have, if you do 15 and I ask you, Pam, how many with 10 pounds do you have left? You can tell me, well, it seems I could have done three more. Okay, that's a good objective. We do not need to go up to failure. So it's not going to look like you have to have those crazy weights. If for people who do not like high weights, they can even train muscle strengthening with lower weights for more repetitions, with more or less sets. And continue doing that. And then I would give you the tip of, we talked about credentialed professionals, but I'm also going to give you the tip of progressive overload. That's the key word when we're talking about strength. Progressive overload means that every day you're going to change something up. You're going to change something. Maybe it's a new exercise, a new angle. Maybe it's one or two reps. But if you increase the reps, don't increase the weights. But there's going to be a different variable. And also, we know creativity is so important. So when you feel, you don't have to be always doing the same training over 30 days. Every day, why don't you change something? One day is going to be the repetitions, as I said. Another way is going to be the velocity. I know how to do this squat. Now I'm going to try to do the same squats, but a little bit quicker. That's going to work.
I'm going to pile on this as we're bringing this to a conclusion. You're actually arguing for functional fitness. And in the ACSM new lineup for the top 10 new trends of 2026, number 10 was functional fitness, meaning that if you want to be able to hold on to those heavy groceries, you know, when the nice young man, you know, says, hey, can I help you with that? And you go, heck no. And then you just lift up the damn thing yourself and just do it. The other day, it was so much fun when I was, boarding a plane. There was a guy. No, excuse me. It was a woman. It was a woman who was struggling to get, you know, her little goodie up there, you know, in the little cargo part above her seat. And she had to try to, she was trying to lift it up and couldn't do it and whatever. And so finally, I just said, yeah, it was like torture watching her. So I walked over and I said, hey, can I help you here a little bit? And she kind of looked quizzical at me. And I said, here, just give it to me. And I just put it right in the thing. I was 100%. And then I think, you know, she was a little defensive. And she looked at me and she said, well, when you're my age, you're going to, you know, have the same problem. I know you will, you know. And I asked her, I said, what's your age? And she told me. And I said, I'm 10 years older than you are. And she just laughed her head off. She goes, oh my gosh, you know, I've been humiliated. I said, no, you haven't. You just had a moment of enlightenment. What you need is to start strength training so that you can, you know, do a lot of this stuff, putting things in overhead and all the rest of it by yourself and whatever. You know, I could talk to you for absolutely forever in a day, and I wish I could. So I have appointed you, as I do so many of my guests, as a repeat offender, which means that we're going to tap you again and again to help us really understand what's going on here, especially in women's physiology and women's fitness. And I cannot begin to thank you enough. So Tamara, this has just been wonderful. So everyone, we've been talking to Dr. Tamara Rial, and she is an expert and recognized researcher and educator in all things women's health, especially resistance training. And Tamara, thank you again for being on the HER podcast.
Thanks to you.
All right. Now, I want to take a moment to thank my sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs Rooted in Nature, and their new HER Life Stages products. Okay, scope it out at Solaray, SOLARAY.com. And now take a moment, leave us a review, because we love to hear from you. Now, everyone out there, this has been a production of Podcast Health. And as I always say, you know, we all have limited time in this world. We know that. But it's what you can do with that time that counts. So get on out there, lift some weights, seize the day. Carpe diem, everyone. Thanks for listening.